What's love got to do with it? That's our topic. What's the answer to that? Everything. What's love got to do with it? Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 17. Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 17 through 19. This is our key scripture, our proof text for today. Now it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a wonderful scripture. It's a very deep scripture, by the way. The basis of everything that God says and does is love. The basis of everything that God says, everything that God does is love. It comes from love. It comes from the place of love. God rebukes, and when He rebukes, it's from a place of love. God never rebukes to destroy. No, He doesn't. Why? Because He rebukes knowing the danger that is lying ahead. And sometimes, most of the time, we are none the wiser of the danger that is lying ahead. So we tend to misinterpret the rebuke of the Lord not to be of love. Everything with God begins and ends in love. Now, not only is this for God, but it is for us who are born of God, as we shall see by way of scripture as we continue. For us who are seeking the Lord, the basis for understanding God is love. It is love. This comes from the scripture that we just read, because it says that we may be able to comprehend. That's understanding. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Now, can you see comprehension? The basis for understanding God is love. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints the 4D dimensional love of God, 4D dimensional love of God, the width, the length, the depth, the height, the 4D love of God. Love, friends, is the basis for being filled with all the fullness of God. Love is the key. We desire. There is nothing more desirable for a believer. There is nothing more desirable for a child of God than being filled with the fullness of God. Being filled. Living our life to the full. As a Christian, we live our lives to the full when we are filled with His fullness. This is something that as children of God, we all aspire to. We all aspire to. This is why John was saying that I may decrease and that He increases. That I may be emptied of myself and be filled with His fullness. Love is the basis. It is the key for being filled with all the fullness of God. The scripture says that we just read, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He would not have said this if this were not possible. He would not have said this if it were not possible for a child of God, if it were not the express will of God for every born-again person to be filled with the fullness of God. If it were not possible, if it were not the will of God, He would not have said it. The fact that He said it, this is the express will of God for every born-again person, for everyone that is born of God, that they be filled with the fullness of God. This is why we ought to be emptied of ourselves, that we may be filled. Not be filled with our emotions, not be filled with our feelings, our desires, not to be filled with our own thoughts, with the thing that we want to know, but to be filled with the fullness. If you desire to know God, it is not possible to know God outside of the context of love. This is the reason why, because people are trying to know God other than the way that the Lord has set out for us to know Him. This is the reason why people, they end up going to wrong places. They end up trying wrong belief systems. They end up looking for power in wrong places. Why? Because they're trying to circumvent the way that the Lord has set out, which is the way of love. There is no other way for knowing God other than love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Now he says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves, please underline everyone who loves. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Love is the basis for knowing God. Love is the basis for knowing God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. He who doesn't love doesn't know God, right? If we don't love one another, we are deceiving ourselves, claiming that we know God or thinking that we know Him. No. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Friends, it is not possible to know God, as I've said, outside of the context of love. It is not possible to know God if we don't love Him. How can we seek Him if we don't love Him? Can you see that? It is not possible to know Him if we don't love Him, because we seek that which we love, don't we? It is love that spurs us on to seek Him. It is love that spurs us on to want to know Him. To know love is to know God and to love others. To know love, it is to know God. And not only that, but also to love others. Everyone who loves, number one, is born of God. Everyone who loves, number two, knows God. Knows God. That is definitive. Our knowledge of God is demonstrable in how we love others. It is the measure of our love that demonstrates our knowledge of God that we have. Because he that loves is born of God. He that loves knows God. But he who doesn't is not born of God, is not of God, is not of God. Romans 5 and 5. Now it says, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit. Remember, John says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Why? Because God is love. But we also know that everyone who is born of God has the Spirit of God. So much so that the Bible says, he who does not have the Spirit of God is not his. Now, this is why it says, he who loves knows God and is born of God. Because everyone who is born of God has the Spirit of God within them. Now, the one who's got the Spirit of God has the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit that they received when they got born again. Now, what does this mean? It is totally, absolutely impossible for a believer not to love, because the capacity that a believer carries is the fullness of God, is the Holy Spirit within them, and is the Holy Spirit who causes us to love. Now, if you say you are born again, but you are not walking in love, then you are walking in deception. Some of us, we are walking in backsliding, because we are butting heads with everybody. We're arguing with everybody. We are fighting with everybody. And yet we claim to be full of Christ. It's not possible. Scripturally, it's impossible. We that are born again, I love it. You know the scripture in Romans, it says, he who does not have the Spirit of God is not his. The Spirit of the Lord, he fills us with the love of God. Number two, the Spirit of God causes us to experience this great, awesome, amazing love of God. The four-dimensional love of God. The full, complete, and yet endless love of God. Holy Spirit, he causes me as a child of God to experience that love. And number three, Holy Spirit, he causes us to love others. Number one, he fills me with the love of God. He fills me with the love of God. Number two, he causes me, the child of God, to experience the love of the Father. And number three, he causes me, the child of God, to walk in love towards the brethren. He causes me to love others. Notice, Jesus never loved only those that believed him. He loved even those that rejected him. So much so that he loved even those that crucified him. He prayed to the Father to forgive them. See? To be filled with love. And here's the thing, the love was poured out. So it's not something that we're born with. It's not something that we have in the human nature, in the carnal nature. No. This is of the new birth. This is of the new nature. When we receive the Holy Spirit, the love of God was shed abroad, was poured out in our hearts. By who? By God, the Holy Spirit. He causes us to love. Now, it's easy to see the Spirit that causes us to hate. The Spirit that fills us with unforgiveness. The Spirit that fills us with anger, with rage, with wrath. The Spirit that causes us to be offended. See, now it's very easy to see, because the Spirit of God does none of those things. He does none of those things in the believer. He does none of those things in us. Now, John 14, 21 and 23. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me. Please underline again. And he who loves me. And he who loves me. And he who loves me. You see, he who loves. John says, he who loves is born of God and knows God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Number one, what does it mean? Love gives us access to God. Love is the greatest. Love is full of forgiveness. It is not the wrong thing that we do that deny us access to God. It's not the thing that we do that cut us off of God. No, the issue is a love issue, because love in it has got forgiveness. It's love. But when we don't love other people, when we hurt other people, when we speak wrong of other people, when we backstabbing people, you see, no, that is sin. That could actually be sin greater than any other sin you can think of. Is there not walking in love? No, we think, the reason why I'm not hearing God because of the wrong movie I watched yesterday. No. When I'm praying, I'm not sensing God. It could be because I drank yesterday. Love gives us access. No. Did he say a perfect person? Did he say a holy person? Did he say a righteous person? Did he say a consecrated person? Did he say a sanctified person? He who loves me, love, gives us access to God. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. We may never, ever come to know God if we continuously walk in the blindness of hatred. We may never, ever, ever come to know God if we continuously walk in the blindness of hatred. Verse number 23 says, Jesus answered and he said to him, if anyone loves me, again underline if anyone loves me. Now for the third time, you've underlined he who loves. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. This is beautiful. If anyone loves me. Nidi yen vat fast too much. No. Nidi yen vat read too much the word of God. Nidi yen vat feed the orphans. Mardi yen who loves me. Love has got everything to do with it. The devil has blinded Christians to this one thing. One thing that turns the heart of God towards you. The one thing. If you have no love, it's impossible to know God. Possible. Every single born again, if it's authentic, true, born again, that person loves. This love we are talking about, petty, it is a spirit. It's either you have him or you don't have him. The spirit. There is a spirit of love. Romans 5:5, the spirit of love. Either you have him or you don't have him. Or you can try to simulate. Christians, they try to simulate to love. Simulation, there's nothing here. They go with emotions. Hello, brother. They adjust their tone. That simulation. No. It's either you have the spirit or you don't. Father, help us. All these people that are troublesome, scratching and headbutting others, I really have a feeling they need to be truly born again. Or if anything else, they have fallen and they need to be restored. And the sooner they realize that, the better. The sooner they realize that, the better. Truly speaking. And this is not just to the members of the church. This is not just to the congregation. This is also to the leadership. There are pastors and prophets and apostles who do not walk in love. They just don't walk in love. They walk in self. They are parading self. We people are touching self and not touching the love. God is love. You cannot simulate God. God is love. You can't simulate God. God is love. He who loves knows God. Because he who loves is born of God. To love like God does is only through and by the Holy Spirit and no other way. And no other way. That's why it says he who loves is born of God and knows God because God is love. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him. And we will make our home with him. Number two, remember number one, love gives us access to God. Verse 21 of John 14, right? Now, number two, love is the basis. Love is the basis for our continual, unbroken, continual relationship, fellowship, communion with God the Father, with God the Son, with God the Spirit. Love is the basis. Without it, we've got no relationship with God. That love, no relationship with God. Love is the foundation. It is the basis. It is the key upon which every divine thing rests. God is love. What is number two? Love is the basis for our continual. Continual means unbroken. Unbroken. Relationship with God. Fellowship with God. Communion with God. Now listen, you people of God. If we persistently do not walk in the love of God and in love towards one another, we will eventually break fellowship with God. And not only that, but fellowship with one another. This is why Paul says, you are fighting one another. You are devouring each other. You are full of strife. What is the problem? Broken fellowship. Not walking in love. And such was this church of Corinth. A church that was living, that God had blessed them graciously and freely. Gifted them, graced them in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But they broke fellowship when they broke walking in the love of God and walking in love towards one another. Love. No matter how anointed you may be, no matter how gifted you may be, love is the basis for a continual relationship with God. Love is the basis for the continual relationship with one another. Notice, God does not anoint you for you. He anoints you for others. Notice, God does not gift you for you. He gifts you for others. If you have a gift from God, it is a love gift. If it's healing, it's healing. It's a healing love gift. If it's tongues, it's healing gift of tongues. It's got love in it. Whatever talent, gift that God has given you, it's not, oh my goodness, so that you may make money for yourself and be rich. And this is where we go separate ways with God. When we are trying to use what God has given us selfishly to enrich ourselves and forgetting that nothing that God gives to us is for us, but it is to minister to others. Oh, come on, church. It is to do what? It is to do what? Loving and prioritizing ourselves instead of God, loving, prioritizing ourselves instead of the brethren. Instead of the brethren. How is it going to impact on my fellow believers? Okay, see, that is love. I may not necessarily do what I want to do if I know that the effect of it is not going to be good on my fellow brothers. But if I love myself and prioritize myself, I care nothing about how it's going to affect others. I just want to be where I want to be. I just want to have what I want to have. You see, that is not love. That means now the fact that we are even born again now becomes really questionable. Because we are hurting other believers without you twitching an eyelid. Loving and prioritizing the world and the things of the world. By loving the things of the world, prioritizing the things of the world instead of prioritizing God, we break fellowship. Because in doing so, we're no longer walking in love. True protection for a believer, it's when you walk in love. Satan cannot destroy you. Not that he will not try. But you cannot destroy a man, a woman who walks in love. Jesus was a man of love. The devil tried. He tried. Was a man of love. Christian tradition tells us that Apostle John, the apostle of love, they tried to kill him, but they failed. You cannot kill love. You cannot destroy love. He was the apostle of love. The other apostles were killed and they died. But this one, what does it tell you? Satan can never. He will. It does not mean that he won't try. But he can never destroy a man, a woman walking in love. The Bible says, now abide faith, hope, love. And we miss this part. We really miss it. And the greatest, that one little word, little phrase, the greatest. The greatest. Why? Because God is love. The greatest is love. You cannot do nothing. You'll never destroy them. You'll never destroy them. They're indestructible. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Glory to Jesus. But if we're truly walking in love, we would be able to say sorry even if you know you're not wrong. That's love. Thank you, Brother Moses. You see, when we don't walk in love, we want to have a hand. But when we say, I'm sorry, you allow God to take over. Look at it and never say, I'm sorry. I don't know what I've done wrong to you, but I'm sorry. Oh, if I haven't done anything wrong to you, okay, receive my sword in advance. For the day that I wrong you, I'm apologizing in advance. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love the world and love God at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. Now he continues to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Now this is a desire for wrong things. Our sinful cravings. This is real life. It is there, right? Now he says, the lust what is in the world is the lust of the flesh, is the lust of the eyes. It is the pride of life. Pride of life. Boasting of what we have and what we do. It is pride of life is boasting. We boast in ourselves, sometimes because of what we have, sometimes because of what we do. We boast in our achievements, in our possessions. Now, this is foolish pride, absolute foolishness. Now, he says these things, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. They are not of the Father. We pursue and we set our affections on the things that we love. Not so. We pursue and we set our affections on the things that we love. This is why, church, the devil capitalizes on our carnal desires in order to lure us away from God. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. Don't set your affections. Set your affections on the things above. Not on the things on earth. Why? Because you are setting, if you're setting your affections on the things that are on earth, you are setting yourself up for a trap from Satan. He'll trap you. He will keep you doing what you are doing while he's slowly but surely taking you away further and further from God. Further and further from God. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Let's read it from the Message Bible. Now it says, don't love the world's ways. I love that. There is God's ways of doing things, and there is the world's ways of doing things. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world, now listen, love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Love of the world squeezes out love for God. Love for God. You cannot worship two masters. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important. Practically everything that goes on in the world. What goes on in the world? Number one, wanting your own way. Wanting out your own way, wanting everything for yourself. See, loving and prioritizing yourself instead of others, instead of the brethren. And number three, wanting to appear important. We want fame, we want status, we want recognition, we want position, we want power. And we are living in the days of social media. Everybody wants to be important. Everyone wants to portray a particular image, no matter how false the image is. We are so much in love with the world and the things of the world. Listen, the fact that you want a certain number of views after posting something has got nothing to do with God. Am I talking to somebody? The methods, the ways that we employ in order to attract the views, it's got nothing to do with God whatsoever. It is a thing, these are things of the world. These are things of the world. Now he says, it just isolates you from him. It isolates. We are doing things that are isolating us from God. Isolating us from God. Isolating us from God. Our love priority. This is why, because our priorities are not right with God. We pray, there's no answer. We pray, we say we don't feel the presence of God. We pray, we are not satisfied. Why? Because we've messed up the priorities. Imagine a prayer that comes and says, Lord, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, and Father, here I am. What would you want me to do for you? What would you want me to do for you? And be there for the duration of your prayer before God. What would you want? What would you have me to do for you, Lord? What do you want? No. We're wasting precious time telling God what we want. Now, right there is the difference between our prayer and the prayer of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus was, Lord, your will. Lord, your will. And a prayer like that will always attract an answer from God. I say a prayer like that will always attract an answer from God. We always want. We live in the world that wants. We live in the world that teaches us to want all the time. And guess what? The more you want, the less satisfied. Friends, the devil knows how to get us here, to get us to want, and forget the most important thing and what really matters in life. I say the devil knows how to get us to a place where we only want, and thereby forget the most important thing and what really matters in life. What is the most important thing and that really matters in life? It is God and what God wants of us. The most important thing in the world is God. The only thing that really matters in the world is God and what He wants of us. Prayer, therefore, is twofold. It's twofold. Lord, I want you and what you want me to do for you. That's prayer. That's prayer. Lord, I want you. And what you want me to do for you, that's prayer. That's really prayer. That's really prayer. I want you, Lord. And what you want me to do for you, that's it. That's complete prayer. That's the principle of prayer. That's what everything should revolve around. Wanting God and what He wants me to do for Him. The devil knows how to get us to focus on how unhappy we are. I say the devil knows how to get us to totally, absolutely, focus on how unhappy we are, how dissatisfied we are, how discontent we are. He is the devil who gets us to focus there because we are not rooted and grounded in love. Our love priority is not right. It's not right. So we know how unhappy we are, how dissatisfied we are, how discontent we are. We leave relationships because we are unhappy. We leave church, I'm unhappy. You leave job, I'm unhappy. Leave business, I'm unhappy. Everything. The only thing you know is how unhappy you are, how dissatisfied you are, how discontent you are. Do you not know that discontentment is a blessing? Dissatisfaction is a blessing. This issue of unhappiness, if you are with God, is a blessing. Because God, He knows how to get me out of here. My focus should not be what I'm passing through. My focus should not be what I am feeling. My focus should be, Lord, I want you and what you want me to do for you. And Lord, I thank you that what I'm passing through right now, Lord, you know it all too well. In fact, Lord, you knew it before it happened. So Father, I know that you've already made a way for me out of this. And guess what? And Lord, I'm not going to try to create a way for myself because we are quick to quit. We are quick to quit. You get offended to quit. Quick to quit. You fight to quit. You disagree, you quit. Quick to quit. Why? This is someone who's not rooted and grounded in love. They think they know God, but they don't. It's not possible to know God without knowing love. Possible. Possible. We fail more often, most oftentimes, on this area of love. Love for the brethren. I say love for the brethren. Satan knows how to get us to focus on how hard things are, how hard, how tight money is, how hard it is to get by. He gets us to focus on this, but this is a ploy. It's an orchestrated move of his. It is a ploy. When we're focusing on how hard, how tough things are, oh, how much I don't have money, oh, how difficult it is just to get by day. No, we are not to focus on this. Is it there? Of course. But it's not, the Bible says we should focus on things above. My leg is not above, it is here. But the Bible says I must set my affection on things, not on things on earth, on things above. The devil does this to take our attention away from God. He does this to take our attention from God. Our attention, we focus on so much on what we are going through. Thereby, our attention, without us knowing, has been totally taken away from the Lord. If it takes our attention away from God, if the devil succeeds to take our attention away from God, he takes us away from our blessing. He takes us away from our breakthrough. And thereby, it becomes an unending, vicious cycle. We are forever complaining, forever crying out to God, and breakthrough will never come. Breakthrough only comes when we focus on God and not on ourselves. Breakthrough only comes when we focus on God and not on the things we are passing through. Not on the things we are going through. When we focus on Him. Focus on God. Focus on God. This is why I keep on saying, when you come to church, you come to church to seek Jesus, to focus on Him and not on other things. And here's the thing, you will be less offended in life if we are focused on God. We are easily offended because our focus is not on God. You'll be honestly less offended in life if God is the center of your attention. Are you hearing me? You would be less offended in life. It does not matter the arena of life because offense is everywhere. But you would be less offended if your focus is on God. Knowing that whatever I pass through, it glorifies Him. Knowing that whatever I pass through, it glorifies God. It is not nice. Of course, God knows that. It is painful. Of course, God knows that. Of course, it does. It's uncomfortable. Of course, He knows that. But as a child of His, full of the Holy Spirit, whatever I pass through, it brings glory to Him. So it matters how I go through what I go through. It matters how I pass through what I'm passing through. It really, really, really matters. Brethren, no matter what happens or does not happen, no matter how hard things get, no matter how difficult love becomes, let us contend to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Things may be hard, but our focus, because unless we are rooted and we are grounded in love, we will not be able to go the way of the Lord. We will not be able to obey Him. We will not be able to hear Him. We will not be able to go it by faith. Rooted and grounded. What does that mean? The basis, the foundation, the bedrock is love. As a Christian, we ought to always contend to remain rooted and grounded. They may say things about you. Remain rooted and grounded. They may conjure up stuff about you that is not true. But what is it that you ought to do? Your contention is to contend to be rooted and grounded in. The rest, God will take care of it. It's true. It may not happen at the time that we want it to happen. If I'm in a discomfort, I want to come out of it as quickly as yesterday. You see, but God does not operate like that. But here's one thing that is sure, and that is God will see me out of this. I don't know when. I don't know how. None of us want things to take long that we don't like. You see, The fact that I'm still going through it, even after so much supplication and intercession, it does not mean that God is not working. It does not mean that God has not already worked out an answer. No, 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 no. Let us not be discouraged because of the when. Let's not be discouraged, friends. But it will surely see us through. Ours is to contend to be rooted and to be grounded in love. Rooted and be grounded in love. There's one thing. To remain rooted and grounded on the love of God is a choice. It is a choice. Try to love. I try to love. I try to love. Now that's what it means. Rooted and grounded. Hold on tight. Don't shake. Don't move. Because that is important. And I'll show you as I'm closing, but I've said it already. It is important. What has love got to do with it? Everything. I can miss God by failing to walk in love. Yes, 100% so. 100% so. I can be assigned to hell for failing to walk in love towards another. 100% so. 100%. See? Love has got everything to do with it. I say love has got everything to do with it. Satan, remember last week's message? Deception. Satan cannot deceive us if we are rooted and grounded in love. Satan cannot deceive us. He cannot deceive us if we are rooted and grounded in the love of God. Love, as I've said, is the foundation for being known by God and for knowing God. Love is the foundation, the basis for being known by God and for knowing God. Without love, forget about knowing God. Our seeking would be in vain. Our coming to church every Sunday, any other day, if it is not driven by love, it's in vain. Because some of us, we are very strange. We love God, but hate everyone. We love God, but hurt everyone. We love God, but fight with everyone. Our Christianity is strange. Our Christianity is strange. It is not Christianity. The Bible says, clearly says, another gospel is from the devil. We love God. We love God. We love God passionately. We love God with a passion, but not so. The same love, we cannot say the same thing towards the brethren as we walk towards the brethren. Our Christianity is strange. And worse still, some of us, we hurt people and never say sorry to them. We don't bother. We don't care. Never say sorry to them. Our Christianity, some of us, is very strange. And it is no Christianity, by the way. We are holding on. We are clutching. We are clutching on the straws. This is not Christianity. This thing is not Christianity. Christianity is love because God is love. Love, friends, is the foundation for our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Love is the foundation for our relationship, our fellowship, our communion with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Love is the foundation for our relationship, our fellowship, our communion with one another. What is it? The Bible says love is the bond that keeps everything together. What does it tell you? Without love, everything falls apart. Your life and my life as a Christian is kept together by love. By love. Haven't you noticed a marriage where love has grown cold, that marriage is really non-existent? It may still be standing on the outside, but on the inside, it has long died. You see, people are holding on to image. We are a couple. No, you're not a couple. You long died. It's true. People are holding on to an image. All right? To people, no, this is a couple. No, no. You see, it's an image that is portrayed to people. But inside, see, without love, everything falls apart. I say without love. Listen, you as a Christian, the time when you were walking in love, you were the happiest Christian in the world. You were even smiling alone in a taxi. When you were walking, it's the truth. I know I'm saying it jokingly, but it's the truth. You were smiling. You were smiling without knowing you were smiling, because at the time you were just walking in love. And when you were walking in love, you were just obsessed with God. As you are walking, you are thinking scripture. As you are walking, you are saying not without with words. In your heart, say, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you. You could not wait until the time for you to pray came. You could not wait until the time for you to read the word of God came. Come on, I'm talking the honest truth to some of you here. Yeah, you could not wait for another service. That time you are walking in love. You could never wait for another service. You were the one person in the world who would never miss a service. You were. You were. Not are. You were. What happened? Your church was once the best church in the world. Today you want to leave it. You have fallen. You wanted to tell everyone about God. You wanted to invite everyone to your church. Your church was once the best thing ever. And you were telling anyone, even people that, Christians that you know, say, oh, you must come to our church. You must come to our church. But today you are the one who wants to leave. Who is deceived? You are. If nothing has changed in the church, if the pastor has not changed, if the doctrine has not changed, if Jesus has not changed, if Holy Spirit has not changed, if the Father has not changed, you have changed. No longer walking in love. Can you see how deception enters? Because the devil gets us to focus on how offended we are, how unhappy we are, how dissatisfied we are, how discontent we are, how hard this is, how hard to get there. You see, now we've shifted. We were once on fire for God. Now here's the thing. We were on fire for God in the midst of all these things. In the midst of all these things, and yet we're still on fire for God. In fact, you were growing more and more on fire for God. In the midst of these things, what has changed? Has God changed? When we're meeting with believers, you were speaking scriptures. Those days, when we're walking in love, you meet with believers, scriptures. When somebody comes and complains to you, you say, oh, Danasekaya, Philippians chapter 4. It was you. What does it say? And you... Before you know it, when the person lives with the person, would be a changed Christian. But today, this is why Jesus Christ says, you have fallen from your first love. You are in Satan's hand today. You go to church today out of guilt because you want to mark a register to say, Lord, I was in church. It's no longer love that drives you to church. Before it was love, pure love for God. What has happened to you? Today, we are following and listening to every preacher on social media. When you were on fire for God, you never did that. When you're on fire for God, because you were very wary for being misled. Very wary. And now you just lap up everything every preacher says. Even if it's not scriptural. Because now you're no longer walking in love, you don't even know, you can't even tell anymore if something is scriptural or not. You can't tell anymore. That's why you're defending wrong preachers. You're defending wrong churches. You want to support wrong preachers. Now you're choosing preachers for yourself. What happened? You fell from love. You fell. A lot of Christians have fallen from love. And can I tell you, they don't hear God anymore. And because they don't hear God, they orchestrate, they make up the voice of God. They simulate God. Love. You sidestep from that area, you are gone. It becomes a slippery slope from there. It becomes a slippery slope from there as a Christian. It becomes a slippery slope from there. You were once this child of God who was so pleasant. You were so pleasant to be with. But now people, they are avoiding you. Why? When we're walking in love, in the love of God, you were pleasant. Your face was pleasant. You were a pleasant person to be with. Love is attractive, but now people are avoiding you. When you're at the tuck shop there, they wait until you buy whatever you buy and you move out and then they go. They are trying the best they can to avoid you. We have fallen from love. So mubi manje. Ngoba uhlala uqumbile. Uhlala uqumbile. Love is gone. It's painful. We are laughing, but it's painful. these people are missing their destiny. They are missing the purpose of God. Mudutla kerekeng comes out of the car angry. Comes out of the taxi angry. Ushers are ushering them angry. Security are greeting them angry. At the tuck shop angry. Listening to the pastor angry. Oh, but what have I done to you? A fall from love. It's painful. Some of us were so in love with God that we did not even notice the things that we lacked. Today we don't come to church because I don't have money, I don't have new clothes. But when we were in love with God, we did not even notice the things we lacked. And by the way, that time we had more lack and more need than we have now. But at that time we did not even notice, it did not even matter. We were in love with Jesus. At church, we would not even notice who was a church. When you get home, someone says, was Mona Lisa a church? Mona Lisa, because you are in love with God. But now, after church, you know exactly who was there and who wasn't there. Thank you, boy. Because you are looking everywhere. When people were in love with God, they were ministered to by everything that was done in the service. Everything. It was ministry to them. Everything. Everything was getting in when they were walking in love. Listen, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with the pastor. There's nothing wrong with the church. This is why people are cowards. When something is wrong with them, they want to project it out to somebody else. No, the problem is you. The rot is inside. But now here's the thing. When we miss it, we no longer see things as we should see them. We start to blame people that we shouldn't be blaming. No, the problem is here. The problem is here. You can move from church to church, it'll be the same. In fact, worse. Worse. Because you are deceived. And deception only gets deeper. It only gets worse. We are deceived. Love is a surefire way to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. For those who are seeking, who desire the gifts of the Spirit, who desire this, love is a surefire way to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 30 and 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 30 and 31. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts? And yet, now here's the key. And yet I show you a more excellent way. This is the way of love. Love is a sure fire way to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Don't worry about gifts of healings. No. Mind yourself about walking in love. Don't mind about power. Some of us, we're seeking power. No, don't worry. Don't worry. These things are byproducts. They are produced by the Holy Spirit. If and when we walk in love, just walk in love. I mean it. I'm serious. To pray for someone to be healed, don't bother yourself. Just walk in love. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. That's how it is. Some of us, we bother about tongues. We listen to different people speaking in tongues and then we bring our own concoction of tongues. Don't bother. Walk in love. Come on, church. I say, don't bother. But do what? Clap hands for him today.